Hello and welcome to another episode of Power Trip with Stephen Michael. I am Stephen Michael, and today I would like to talk about the Oppression Olympics, something that white people attempt to compete in every day, and it's both sad and funny at the same time. I did not coin the term Oppression Olympics. I saw it on the internet somewhere. I don't know who coined it, but it works. So, basically, to try to break it down, what the Oppression Olympics are is when white people, although, you know, other people can probably be guilty of this too, you know, it's a big world, when they try to compete for sympathy by trying to say that their ancestors were oppressed too, when they try to say that black people in America couldn't have had it so bad because XYZ Irish, XYZ Italian, XYZ Asians, XYZ other countries where things are even worse, or, you know, or I grew up poor, or you know, or I'm part Native American and Native Americans had it very terrible in the U.S. And nothing, and I'm not contradicting the Native American angle, they certainly had it very terrible in the United States due to what white people did to them. However, there is a time and a place to talk about what happened to Native Americans, and that is when we're talking about Native Americans. Or, you know, and there's a time and a place to talk about what happened to the Irish, and that is when we're talking about what happened to the Irish. When black people are discussing the injustices that black people face, that is when you talk about the injustices that black people face. There's no reason to bring up anything else. Just because there are problems somewhere else or have been problems somewhere else, it doesn't diminish or reduce the problems that someone else is facing. You know, people have different problems, but we each have our own. And right now, what we're talking about are the problems that black people face. And Native Americans do face problems to this day. They also have problems with racism and the way police handle them. And then also, you know, they still can't even keep their own sacred grounds protected because of white Americans trying to make money off of the land. And so when, for example, when people were protesting the Dakota Pipeline, that was a time to talk about the oppression that Native Americans face. I didn't see any black people trying to cut in front of that line and say, well, what about me? No, I didn't see that. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's a big world. Maybe you can find an example of it somewhere. But typically what I do see is when a black people brings up some sort of injustice, some white person is there to try to cut them off, head them off at the pass and say, well, what about me? You know, my great, great, great grandfather is Native American. You think I haven't faced oppression? That sort of thing. That's the Oppression Olympics. It's a contest to see who is more oppressed. Only white people aren't faring very well. They want so badly to be able to say that they were victims. You know, and I'm going to bring up a very particular case that is in the news this week. His name is Shannon Kepler. He's a police officer who is no longer a police officer. He was fired. He murdered, and I'm going to use that word murdered, I don't care what anybody else says, he murdered his daughter's boyfriend, a black man. His daughter was dating interracially in this, and I don't know what happened between the two of them, you know, the cop and the black guy, but the black guy, or the cop claims that the boyfriend was armed. He had a weapon. Well, investigators on the scene found no such weapon. Nothing at all. And this has gone to trial 3 times, and still, the jury cannot decide whether or not this cop, who was off duty at the time, and again, this was not a situation where this was a random person. This was his daughter's boyfriend. He killed his daughter's boyfriend, and the juries still can't decide whether or not this white cop was defending himself or not, whether it was really murder or not. There's no doubt that this cop pulled the trigger. No one is arguing that he didn't. But 3 times they've had a hung jury, and they're going to go to trial for a 4th time. Now, this is why I bring this up. this cop attempted to try to get the courts to not try him by the state. He argued they have no right to try him, not because he's a cop, not because he's claiming self-defense, and therefore there should be no trial. He's arguing that because he is 128th Native American, I want to repeat that, 128th Native American, that the states had no right to prosecute him. 128th. Think about how infinitesimal that is. 100. I have often joked that a white person will claim to be 132nd Native American. That's a joke of mine. I say it kind of frequently. This guy was 128th. He's only like a fraction, a teeny tiny fraction away from my joke. And he tried to claim the state had no right. Of course, the judges disagreed with him, and it is going to go to trial for the fourth frickin' time. There was only one black jury member on those juries, by the way, apiece, which that's a problem in and of itself. But that's the argument that he tried to make. White people are either lying, and this is statistical. White people were either lying or, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, misinformed about their family lineage, that they are somehow related to Native Americans. There's a lot of white people in this country who have been passing down through the generations that they have Native American in their blood, and a lot of them just don't. I can't tell you why this happens, why it's so prevalent. Black people are guilty of it too, from what I can see. A lot of people make this claim, but when the DNA analysis comes back, it's not there. Native Americans, their populations have shrunk and diminished and shrunk and diminished due to war and disease, and then what white people have done to them over the centuries. But not many of them apparently made enough babies with white people and black people to carry on this lineage that so many white people claim to have. I even had a coworker do it to me recently, and if we didn't get interrupted, I would have called them to task. But you know, when you work in a job, sometimes things happen, and then you get called away, and you don't get back to your previous conversations. So, Native American, even if this guy really is 128th Native American, let's say that's legit, and let's say Native Americans think that's enough, because I don't know what their rules are to what it, how much of a percentage it has to be for you to be considered Native American. It's not my call. But in my opinion, if you have to tell somebody that you're Native American so that we don't treat you like a white person, you're probably a white person. Because we're treating you like a white person. Most likely everybody else has been treating you like a white person. You've probably grown up as a white person. You've experienced life as a white person. You've been treated by cops and doctors and assistant store managers, all as a white person. So I'm going to go with you're white. You grew up white, treated white. You want to make the argument you're white passing. That's fair. It's a fair argument. Maybe you are just white passing and you didn't grow up fully white, and that's fine. But what I'm talking about are these people who claim erroneously to be Native American. Even if you could somehow prove to me that five generations ago you had a great-grandmother or grandfather that was Native American, it's five generations ago, you've grown up white, your parents grew up white, you're white. You know, 128th, in my opinion, and I am not Native American, so this is not my call, but it's not enough for you to somehow justify your actions or claim to be not white. You're still white. Let's talk about Irish slaves. I've talked about this in the past. So I've seen some white people share a meme on the internet that no one was treated worse in America than the Irish. And wow. I mean, talk about just bold-faced lies. If you wanted to argue that Irish were the worst-treated white person in America, I could maybe go for that. Because they were treated like garbage. They were. The Irish were treated like garbage by other white people. White people amaze me. Because white people will treat other white people like garbage just because of certain things, like the fact they're Irish or Italian or whatever. White people oppress other white people. They do. it's been like that for centuries. Between the Vikings invading England and England invading Scotland, and I mean, just white people, just that's what they do. It's what they do. But the Irish were not really slaves per se, not in the chattel slavery way that Americans in both North and South America made famous. Chattel slavery reinvented slavery. It changed the whole ballgame. And the Irish were not a part of chattel slavery. When slavery was happening in Europe and other parts of the world, the rules were different. When we brought it to the Americas, it was reinvented. And it was made much worse than it had ever been. And at that point, they broke it down primarily upon racial lines. I guess perhaps it was because it's much easier to distinguish between a white man and a black man. I mean, you're just going to assume in a country full of, you know, slaves and masters that anyone who is black in that environment is likely a slave. And therefore, lines were drawn in the sand, and white people drew those lines. They said that black people cannot be free in this land. That was their decision. Black people were not intended to have freedom in the United States in the beginning. They were not considered people in the beginning. And then when they wrote the Constitution, they were made 3/5 of a person just to help the South get some more people in the House. So the Oppression Olympics is basically about the Irish. When white people try to put the Irish in the forefront, oh, well, you think black people had it bad during slavery times? Well, look at how bad the Irish had it. No, they didn't have it as bad. They just didn't. Like, the fact this argument is made, and it's made so often, and I've seen that meme shared everywhere, I just can't. Like, it doesn't take much research to discredit this stuff. That's what makes it so bad. It would be different if this was hidden, like a secret, like Da Vinci Code or something. You had to like crack and like you had to dig down on the ground and decode the back of a dollar bill. This isn't a secret. It's all public information. You can look it up anytime you want to. So the Irish were treated like garbage, and you can still see signs on the internet, pictures of signs anyway, that people that had, they had them up in, you know, retail shops, no Irish allowed, no Jews allowed, all kinds of stuff, because white people, they would parse it down. Like, if you weren't white and Catholic and from America, or just you, there were certain criteria, and if you didn't meet that criteria, they did not want you around. But that did not mean that Irish were treated as badly as black people. The Oppression Olympics, man, you don't need to, like, the Irish, as bad as they had it, eventually they made a niche for themselves and they became just white. And now we don't, there's no differentiation between Irish and black. How Irish became police in America, they were able to basically blend. You know, I mean, if they dressed the part and got rid of the accent, you'd never know in a lot of cases they even were Irish. So now I'm going to get into another part of Oppression Olympics, and that is terminology. There's some white people out there that really want to be oppressed so badly that they want to compare the word cracker to the N-word. Now, you notice how I just said the N-word? That's because the N-word is worse than cracker. Now, this isn't something where I can be like, well, I'm white, so I can say cracker, but you're not white, so you can't say cracker. That's not how that works. Nobody cares about cracker. Nobody. I mean, it's really funny in a lot of ways, cracker. I mean, well, if you think of, like, a saltine, for example, if you're thinking, like, a saltine, that's pretty funny. Perhaps if if black people wanted to take a step further, if they really wanted a racial slur, I think saltine would be a better insult than cracker. I know that that's not what cracker comes from. Cracker really comes from actually a whole hodgepodge of sources. I don't want to call it a myth because it's not a myth. But see, etymology, the study of language, words are travel a lot. The usage changes a lot. You can go back a few hundred years and find use of the word cracker used in Europe to describe to describe one white person describing another white person. And usually it was a difference between rich and poor. And yes, even back in Europe, there was a delineation of the use of the cracking of a whip, and that maybe that was how that started. Unfortunately, etymology, as awesome as we are at it, there's a lot of gray areas, a lot of research that you can do, but when it comes to the way we use words, the way it travels like wildfire in usage before anyone bothers to track it and write it down, it doesn't really work like that. So the word cracker, when it came to slavery in America, there is a tale that the reason why black people during slavery called white people crackers was because of the whip. You know, during punishment, the white people would crack the whip, and so therefore they were called the cracker. And that's not necessarily a lie. There is probably truth to that. But the word cracker is older than that, likely carried over from Europe into America. And from there, probably somehow entered the language of black people used to describe white people. Or it could be a severed cord, and it is just by itself a reference to the whip crack. But again, etymology is a gray area. I'm not going to claim to be an expert. I did do some research on it before I recorded this because I didn't want to be wrong about anything. If there's one thing that you can say about me is that I really hate being wrong. So I took a look into it, and I just saw that the word cracker does, it basically moves around a lot, and there's no real origin that anybody can be 100% certain of. But I know that today, when a black person refers to a white person as a cracker, in my mind, and a lot of other white people's minds, we go to saltines because of how pale we are and how bland we are as a people. So that might be a better insult if you wanted to adapt that. You know, it's up to you. But cracker is by no means any worse than the N-word. Not even close. The N-word has been used to make black people dehumanized. It's a dehumanizing term. It was made so that white people, when they were treating black people like animals, that was a word that they used to do that. It was how they would both consciously and subconsciously separate themselves as people by referring to them as something other than what they are, which is just a human being, a black person, a person of darker melanin than the rest of us. That's all it is. You know, biologically speaking, it's just they have darker skin. That's it. And yeah, sure, there's the minutia of differences between us. The reality is we're still humans. I'm human, you're human.
We will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker.
Don't accept mediocrity.
Certified under John Maxwell's international team, Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate. Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil, thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key power promotional essentials for a successful business.
And that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
My overall goal is to help business owners increase in profits and sales.
Hey everybody out there in Radio Land, this is Pistol Raw from Smushnap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access, type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio.
The idea was that by calling them the N-word, they would separate them as something different, something less, something more animal. And they would call, and they had other words, and the N-word wasn't the only one. There was other stuff. White people didn't want to treat black people as equal by any means of the definition. So even when they weren't using the N-word, the terrible one, they would come up with other stuff that, I mean, white people are very imaginative when it comes to being racist. There's a lot of joking about how white people don't have any culture. And I would say about white Americans that there's a lot of truth to that. But there's one aspect of our culture that we have nailed down, and that is being racist. We are very creative. We come up with lots of terms, lots of ways of doing it. Just the violence and the oppression that we have put upon every minority that has entered the United States, there is one thing that we are good at, and it is that. From the Chinese to the black people to the Native Americans, any minority that has come to this country, we have been very unkind to. Now we've moved on to Muslims. I mean, just anything we can do. It's gotten to where we are so bad that we can't even differentiate between one person who's a Muslim and another person who's not a Muslim. They just happen to have darker skin, like of the Sikh faith. I believe that's how you pronounce that, and I apologize if I pronounce that wrong. But basically, those are the ones who wear the turbans. People think that men with turbans are Muslim, and that's not what they are. But many people wearing turbans have gotten attacked in America because white people hate them for just being brown. White people are very good at that one thing, and that is being racist douchebags. That is in American white culture, whether white people want to admit it or not. Now, a lot of white people want to say, well, that's not me, I didn't attack anybody. And yeah, it's true, you haven't, you probably haven't, a lot of white people haven't, but I've heard the conversations, I've seen the online conversations. You guys are so quick to say, to say nasty remarks about them when you see them on airplanes or just out and about in public. You'll tweet how scared you are because there's a man in a turban on your plane, That kind of attitude, even if you don't physically attack someone, that perpetuates the belief that they're dangerous, and it will cause people who are a little less mentally stable than you to act on it. If you are an intelligent person, you must bring yourself to a higher level, the level that it is wrong to separate someone due to loose association. being brown and obviously from the Middle East of some way, or maybe India, that's a loose affiliation. That doesn't mean they're a dangerous person. Being white doesn't necessarily mean that you're a dangerous person either. We know this because we're white and we know other white people and we feel safe around other white people. But the fact of the matter is, white people are responsible for like 99% of the mass shootings in America, white men especially. Mass shootings in America. White men are like 99% of the serial killers in America. But yet, knowing that they make up the vast majority of serial killers, knowing they make up the vast majority of mass shooters, and knowing that they're responsible for, through government, they're responsible for the deaths of millions of Native Americans, we're going to say that white people are safer than anybody else? I don't know how you can come to that conclusion. Now, I'm not saying that white people are... How do I put this? Let me say that I don't consider any white person individually to be any more or less dangerous than anyone else. That being said, there is a history in America. So, but I'm white, so I don't see other white people as dangerous because I know that individually, I don't think anybody's dangerous. I don't. I don't look at any black person down the street and think they're any more dangerous, hoodie or not, you know, whatever. You know, unless they have a blood-dripping machete, I'm going to assume that they're just a person. That's what I do. Maybe I'm naive. I don't know. But I have never... Maybe it's also because I'm 6'2". I don't know. But I've never felt intimidated by anyone of any race, of any color, of any religion, no matter where I am. I've worked with black people. I've worked with Muslims. I've worked with lots of people. And of course, I don't want that to come off as sounding as though that means I'm not racist, because that's not what that means. What I'm saying is I've just never felt a twinge of any of those feelings when I was around any of them. And I don't see how anyone with half a brain can't come to that same conclusion. So when it comes to white people and the way that we treated the Irish and we treated other people of European descent after we had, you know, scored a few generations in America. I mean, even during the Revolution, even later on during the Civil War, Americans hated foreigners because they were stealing our jobs. The story is so old. They're stealing our jobs because they would. They would come to America and work for less than everybody else because that's what they needed to do. And so Americans who were already here hated that, so they would automatically hate the foreigners. So this isn't a new story. It's been going on for centuries. And white people would parse it out and be mad at the Irish because they were coming over here and working for less. And some of them would be better at it because they had so much experience working in Ireland. But fact of the matter is, the Irish eventually grew to be white. The word cracker has never changed our lives at all, ever. Michael Che on SNL, he recently got in trouble for using... Well, I don't want to say in trouble. Some people were offended that he used the word cracker when talking about Donald Trump. And they said, if a white person had used a racial slur on live TV, they would have been fired. Seriously, this is not comparable. There's no level that makes this the same. White people have not faced any kind of oppression in America because they're white. So to be mad that someone called us a cracker, that doesn't... It's just dumb. White people have faced oppression because they were Irish. See, we were specific about it. But even that was very short-lived. And while it was terrible at the time, it's just not the time to bring it up when we're discussing black issues. When you want to discuss white history and how white people were oppressive towards other white people, that's a great time to mention it, because we were, and it was terrible. But it wasn't the kind of terrible that it was during slavery or during the Jim Crow era. So I'm hoping that we can get over this cracker thing, because it doesn't make any sense to be mad about it. I'm not offended when you call me a cracker. It doesn't... I don't know what that's supposed to do to me. Am I supposed to be mad? I don't, because again, it has no impact on my life.
I still go to job interviews and call me cracker all day long. I have just as much chance at that job interview as any other white person. But black people, on the other hand, when they're dehumanized in America, whether it's conscious or subconscious, that dehumanization, it travels. It gets under the skin of people. And what I mean is it like, well, maybe I used the wrong cliche, but what I mean is that subconsciously it causes white people to think less of black people, and therefore black people are less likely to get the opportunities and chances that other white people get. Let me talk about the subconscious for a second, because subconsciously, and I think I've talked about this before on another power trip, everybody in the world has a subconscious desire to be like to be with people like them. Call it tribal if you want, I don't care. It's subconscious. We all have it. You could say that overweight people are more prone to hang around other overweight people if you want. It doesn't, just whatever intricacies of social interaction, people want to be around people like them. And so, therefore, white people who are in charge are more likely to hire other white people. It's just odds. It's just odds. You can talk about the evils of racism, but even the subconscious desire of wanting to be around people like yourself can lead to the same effect of actual evil racism, and that is the exclusion of people who aren't like you. When you look at the bottom line, the effect is what I like to talk about most. Because as much as we can talk about how it's wrong to refer to a black person as the N-word, and it is wrong, all right? It's still not comparable to calling a white person a cracker, because there's no real impact on that. White people have not suffered at the hands of that word. It just hasn't happened. As a matter of fact, if you want to go back to what is the believed origin of the word, which is the cracking of the whip on a slave, that's just an empowerment word. It puts the white person in charge in that scenario. There's nothing insulting about that. It's insulting in that no white person should want to be that evil, but but white people were. And cracker doesn't affect us. Dehumanizing, it doesn't apply. That word, dehumanization, has never applied to white people in America by other white people, except for when they tried to parse whiteness to foreigners. And that was extremely short-lived and therefore barely worth mentioning. Black people, on the other hand, have faced dehumanization from the very moment they set foot on this side of the hemisphere. All right, they faced that dehumanization from white people from top to bottom. And that dehumanization has led to them getting less opportunities. See, there's impact. There's actual life experience. Not only did they have to worry about, earning money to support their families and pay their bills, but they also had to worry about their actual lives, because white people feared them so much that white people would attack them. They would brutalize them. They would burn crosses on their front lawn. They would openly threaten their lives and tell them, get out of here or you're going to die. That's why a lot of black people fled the South. Notice I said fled. It wasn't like a casual move. They were threatened, so they had to pack up all their belongings and move as quickly as they could, because they feared not just for themselves, but for their children. A lot of white people really surprise me at how little they respect the desire to protect one's children from that sort of atmosphere. I think a lot of them just think, well, black people should have stood up for themselves and pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. They're taking care of their kids. Pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, as important as that is, your kids come first. I think pretty much everybody can agree with that. And if the safety of your children, I'm talking about their actual physical safety, is in peril, you're going to pack up your stuff and take your kids somewhere where you think they can be safe, so that hopefully you can find a decent enough job that you can afford to, put a roof over their head and feed them. I don't see that as that hard to understand. But pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, going to college or whatever that white people seem to think happens, when you have children to take care of, that's your priority. You put that first. And sometimes it's to your detriment, but you do it anyway, because it's for your kid. And it's the right thing to do. Because it's the right thing to do. Your kids always come first. So a lot of times they had to flee the South, go to the North. And you'd think that Northerners, with our liberalness, would be more open to having them in our neighborhoods. But, you know, guess what? Not the case. They would receive more threats. And so then came, the segregation of society. You know, black people would have to move into black neighborhoods. White people wouldn't let them into their neighborhoods. So in terms of the oppression Olympics that white people like to play, okay, guess what, white people? You're losing. You're losing. You're so far in last place. You're like 10 laps behind. All right? You're never going to get ahead. You're not even going to get a bronze on this one. So please, you know, stop mentioning the Irish or how you're 128th Native American as some sort of symbol that you faced oppression because of that. It's a little absurd. It's more than a little absurd, but it's actually getting pretty frustrating because I unfortunately do speak with a lot of white people on the internet because I'm dumb and I like to get into online debates because I'm right. And when I'm right, it creates a lot of frustration for the people I'm talking to because I'm right and they don't want to admit that I'm not right. And they'll try to come at me with false statistics, like crime statistics that I've already discredited. I try to show them they're discredited and they're just not buying it. Like, it's very difficult to explain to white person after white person after white person that the FBI statistics that they like to hold so high have been discredited for a few years now because they haven't heard about it because it really wasn't covered that much in the news. There are articles. You can read them. Again, this stuff isn't a secret. But because it didn't catch fire and was all over national media and social media, there's a lot of white people who have no idea about it, and those are the statistics they go to. They like to prove that black people commit more crime. Well, they don't commit more crime. The statistics that you're looking at are skewed. They're not real. This is very difficult to explain to white people because white people really trust their government. And this is something I think black people, if you're listening, can probably understand that because you don't trust your government at all. I assume that anyway, because you've seen what the government can do to black people. You saw that the government experimented on black people without telling them that they were experimenting on them. You saw that the government was basically, snipping men or, basically they were sterilizing men and women, making it so they couldn't reproduce. Black men and women. Now, they did do it to some white criminals. See, that's another... I'll get back to that. But they were doing it to anyone that they felt... Any black people they felt shouldn't make any children. And they also did it to some white people. But the disproportion is clear. It was vast majority black, minority white. And the government did this sometimes by force, sometimes without even... The person who had it done to them, sometimes they didn't even know it had been done. They were just put asleep. They woke up. They were maybe in a little discomfort, especially for the men. But the women were probably in more discomfort is what I meant by that. And they didn't even know that anything had been done to them. It wasn't until later that they found out. The same thing with the experimentation done... the government has done things to black people, and the government has been there every step of the way to defend itself from itself. You know, they investigated itself and discovered that it had done no wrong. You know, that's what we're talking about here. So white people, though, they haven't really experienced that. White people really trust their government a lot more than they should. I mean, if you really want an obvious example, and I'm talking grade school level obvious of reasons to not trust your government, I mean, this is really, really obvious, and this is a lot less harmful than some of the other stuff I just mentioned. But one of the most blatant, obvious lies that the government ever told, in my opinion, was the duck and cover campaign. All right, that was during the time when everybody thought we were all going to get hit by an atomic bomb, they did the duck and cover campaign. Everybody get under your desks. You know, cover, you know, that was the whole thing. They had students doing it nationwide, duck and cover. Why? If you're hit by an atomic bomb, Do you really think ducking covering is going to do anything? No. It was all psychological. They were trying to put people at ease by saying we have a plan. It was just lying. But see, that's it was the motherhood aspect, the apron strings aspect, where the government is trying to protect you. See, white people have it in their heads that their government is there to protect them. Black people, on the other hand, probably don't feel that way. And looking at history, I could see why. But white people do trust their government. So when they find out the government did these things, it's a huge shock to them. They don't know. But when the FBI comes out with statistics saying that, you know, X, Y, Z, black people commit this much crime, white people commit this much crime, it doesn't occur to them that the information is faulty. And if the information is faulty, then they probably think, well, somebody else probably has the information. But no, I know this is hard to believe, but proper crime statistics have never actually been done. They're starting to now. But it takes time to correlate that data. It takes time to get enough information. America is huge. It's huge. There's, you know, 300 million people in America, you know, I'm ballparking it. But see, some places are easier to track than others. New York City, Los Angeles. See, those are easy. Because not only are they major hubs with lots of activity, tons of press and news coverage, but the police departments there, they're also tracking the activity. They have it. If you want the information, you could probably go and get it from those major cities. But the smaller towns that the U.S. is peppered with, just nothing but small towns everywhere, all the crime and meth addicts that happen that are in those small towns, that information isn't really tracked so well. So when you try to compare the crime statistics between the two-thirds of small-town America, right, versus the one-third of major cities that we have, the major cities have been tracking it, the small towns not so much. So do you really think you're going to get fair statistics? Of course not. So white people want to quote these statistics at me and try to show that black people are a certain way, white people are a certain way, but statistics aren't true. The statistics are false, and I keep having to show this over and over and over again. Now imagine being black in America, and how often they have to be confronted with white people being racist to them. I mean, I have white people doing it to me, just arguing about how black people are wrong about whatever. And it's frustrating because I'm just doing it on the internet. And I'm just a white guy, just voicing my opinion, and I still get nasty messages in my inbox about it, just because, you know, they have a little bit of anonymity. Now imagine being black in America. I would imagine, just guessing, that it's worse. You probably hear it a lot more than I do. I mean, I've seen screenshots of nasty messages black people get, from the N-word, just everything else under the sun, for voicing an opinion on race. Or on America. There's still conflict about this kneeling thing during the national anthem. Just recently, Pence, Vice President Pence, if you want to be kind enough to call him that, decided to go to a football game for what I am guessing was the express purpose of being offended. Because he still thinks that the kneeling is about the national anthem and the troops. They're trying to redirect the conversation so bad to that when we all know it's about racism and a racist judicial system that oppresses black people in America. We will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker.
Don't accept mediocrity.
Certified under John Maxwell's international team, Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate, Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil, thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key power promotional essentials for a successful business.
And that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
My overall goal is to help business owners increase in profits and sales.
Hey everybody out there in Radio Land. This is Pistol Raw from Smushnap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access. Type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio.
Like, for example, the cop who... in 2014, killed... this is in 2014. This is 3 years ago. The cop who killed his girlfriend... his daughter's boyfriend, my apologies, his daughter's black boyfriend. And still no justice for that. 3 years later, three trials later, the fourth trial soon to start, and we still do not have justice. And we can't be confident at all that we ever will see justice. There's no way that white people can compare... So I guess I'm trying to lay it out. You cannot compare anything that white people have gone through in America to anything black people have gone through. There's no comparison. This is not a pissing contest that you're going to win. Like I said, there is a time and a place to discuss those things, though. I don't want to say that Irish people never had it bad, because that would be dumb. Irish people did have a point in the U.S. when they did have it bad. And there is a time and a place to have that discussion. America has been around since 1776, and we have a lot to discuss. There's been a lot going on. It's not just one thing. But you guys, you only want to bring it up when we're talking about black slavery. If you wanted to have a discussion on everything bad that happened to Irish people and other foreigners that came to the United States in the 1800s to the early 1900s, let's have that discussion. I'm game. I love history. I'm weird that way. But when you want to bring it up, it's always at inappropriate times. When we are discussing chattel slavery in America, that is not a time to talk about Irish slavery. There's no comparison. you don't get to mention that. When you want to talk about the N-word versus cracker, cracker has not oppressed us. It has not changed our lives. We have not been dehumanized. White people actually used it on other white people in Europe. It was a term they used against each other. It's not dehumanizing. So stop trying to make the comparisons, I guess, is my, that's all I'm trying to say. There's no reason to bring it up when you bring it up. If you want to talk about etymology and the study of words and how cracker got to be used, I would love to go further into that and try to find, you know, every time it was used and try to figure out how it got into, you know, the usage by, you know, black people, probably during the slavery times and stuff. That's fascinating to me. But cracker isn't worse than the N-word. Never will be. And the N-word is made worse because of the way white people used it. White people didn't just use the word. They used the word, they combined it with violence and murder, and then also used it to defend how they would later on, you know, whether it's in courts, whether it's, you know, whether it was the buying and selling of slaves or in slavery, they would use the word to defend the treatment, the terrible treatment of black people in America. White people didn't get to face that in America, all right? Did white people have it bad in other places? Did the Scottish have it bad when the English were treating them like garbage over in Europe? Yes, absolutely. They've made a movie about it. So yeah, let's have that conversation, but at a different time. Let's all sit down and talk about Braveheart and what an awesome movie it was, and try to figure, and we'll go into the history books and try to see what was accurate, what wasn't accurate. Did they really wear kilts during that time? I don't know. Let's look it up. I'm not an expert when it comes to European history during that time. But you guys want to bring it up when we're talking about black slavery in America, and that's just there's no, you're just doing it to diminish what black people have gone through. And it's, frankly, it's insulting, it's degrading, it's demeaning. Stop doing it. I'm tired of seeing white people get away with killing black people. Yeah. I want there to be a day when murder, well, you know, first of all, I think everybody would like to see a day when murder just doesn't happen, right? But I would like to see a day when there is a murder, it's just for, like, normal murdery things. You know, normal, you know, like, he was embezzling, and so I murdered him. Or he slept with my wife, so I murdered him, you know. I don't want there to be murder, but, you know, at least, could we just get to the normal reasons of murder rather than unarmed black man trying, you know, reaching for the wallet he was literally asked to get? That would be great if we could get away from that. It's disheartening that white people will defend the cops over and over and over and over again, both in court but also in the public, in public forums like the internet and family conversations. They'll try to defend it. Yeah, I think white people really need to really read up and try to get away from the condensed Campbell soup version of history, because history is very long and it's very nuanced and there's a lot of stuff going on in there, and everybody wants to try to take a more condensed version of it, and sometimes I think some of you even forget the history existed before you were born. I think a lot of you kind of take this whole, well, you know, I didn't see any slavery when I was 15 in high school. I'm sorry, yeah, when I was 15 in high school, I didn't see slavery then. That doesn't mean anything. You know, yeah, you're young, so what? You know, slavery was before my time, too. So was Jim Crow. So was the Civil Rights Act. So was lots of stuff. But I still saw the Rodney King beating. I still saw the L.A. riots. I still saw, more shootings of black men who have no weapon or who are running from the scene being shot by cops in the back. You know, that is not a justified reason to ever shoot anybody, especially if they're unarmed. You know, if they're just trying to get away, you know, I get it. That sucks that you have to, now you have to foot it. I get it. That sucks that you have to chase after somebody. And as a cop who's lazy, I would imagine that you don't want to run. Maybe it's hot in that vest and with the gun and the cuffs and everything, and you don't want to run. But you know what? Being lazy is not a good excuse to take someone's life. We live in a system where it's the punishment must fit the crime. This is not a new idea or concept. This is centuries old. Punishment must fit the crime. And every government takes it too far because its citizens have a hard time feeling guilty about punishing a criminal. And I understand that because it is hard to feel bad for a rapist or a murderer when they are treated like a rapist or a murderer. I get that aspect. It is very difficult to feel bad for them. But the punishment must fit the crime, and running from a traffic stop is not enough to defend shooting them in the back. That is not the, that punishment does not fit that crime. This was an unarmed man. You did not have to fear for your life or anyone else. There is a time and a place, and it wasn't then. And that to me is murder, and that person should go to jail. And I think this other cop who killed another, who killed his daughter's boyfriend, I think that cop belongs in jail. And that's another thing that I've talked about in the past is the whole aspect of going to jail. When these crimes are committed, you know, when a black person kills another black person, that's another thing white people like to bring up. Oh, but black people kill black people all the time. Well, black people, when they kill black people, they go to jail, which is what is supposed to happen. You are supposed to go to jail for that. But what we're seeing is white cops kill black people and just get away scot-free. They get to walk. Because they just said, I was afraid. And that is enough just to say it. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to take a lie detector, nothing. You just, all you have to say is, I was afraid. I was afraid. And every white person in the world wants to be like, well, if he was afraid, well, then that makes sense. We should let him go. But no, you know, these people are trained. They are trained. How are they afraid? If they're afraid after all the training they've had, maybe they need more training? Maybe they shouldn't have been hired? I don't know. But you can't shoot a black man in the back and then just walk away. Now, the Walter Scott case is not yet resolved, and I am so hopeful that this cop will go to jail. So hopeful. But I have to keep my expectations low, especially if he ends up with an all-white or even mostly white jury. Which is where our society still is. All right, well, I went off on some tangents accidentally. I was trying to stay focused. I even wrote down bullet points for myself so I would stay on topic. But it's very easy to get into other realms of racism in America when you start talking about the Irish and Cracker and being 121 and 128th Native American. I'm not even kidding about that. 1 and 128th Native American is what this guy was claiming. All right. Well, so in the Oppression Olympics, you lose, is my point. So this will be the last thing I say.